going into our topic tonight, I want to talk a little bit about relationships.
Dun dun dun.
We've had a lot of Hey everybody, and welcome to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I am your host, Stacy.
And I'm your co-host, Angie.
And we are so glad that you all are back with us. In fact, you know what we're even more happy about? The fact that we're back together here in the studio, right,
Angie? We are. The duo is back together.
The band is back together. Yeah. It's been a couple weeks.
It's been a few, yeah. Actually. Yeah.
We've been busy. We've been a little bit of a travelers. Mm-hmm. On the road. You were in Orlando,
mm-hmm.
and then you came back, and then I left, and I went hunting for a while.
And then you had sick kiddos.
In Arkansas. Then I had sick kids, yeah. And then I went to Orlando mm-hmm. again. And so it's been a couple weeks out, but we are refreshed. Yeah. We are back. In fact, we had an hour-long pre-production meeting.
We did. It was needed.
Before we put the headphones on tonight. And it was needed because our topic tonight is another dun 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 taboo table talk. Nailed it. So we're gonna be delving into an issue tonight, a little bit of a taboo issue tonight. So we needed the pre-production time to just like talk about what's been going on in our lives, but we'd love to share that with you too. So I just got back from Orlando from the Reagan Communication Social Media Conference. It was phenomenal. So many great presenters. Some of my favorites were definitely, we had the Harmon brothers out there, and they're the PR masterminds, and the ad guys behind like the Squatty Potty and Chatbooks. They were fantastic. Also the Wendy's guys, the guys behind Wendy's Twitter.
I saw that.
They were fantastic as well. Joanna Scholl, formerly of HBO, so like the PR maven behind Game of Thrones and things like that. Mm. So she was fantastic. It was just a great experience hanging out with some of the sharpest minds in the PR and marketing field, and so cool. Loved it. So shout out to the Reagan communication team, and you're going to have to go next time.
And let's just talk about how amazing your notes were. I was so impressed.
They were fun.
Stacy got a little creative with it. It was fantastic.
I did. If you all are interested, you can follow me personally on Instagram, I suppose. If you look for my Stacy Carlin 7 actually is what my official name is on Instagram. So I did a lot of creative notes that would summarize the topics and then share those out, and those were retweeted a lot too on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter too, same handle. So anyways, it was a great productive week. I'm happy to be back home, back here in Michigan where the sun is shining.
Yay.
And we are getting happy.
We are. Can I just tell you that a few weeks ago, Macy's was having their huge like blowout shoe sale or whatever. I went and bought shoes, 3 pairs. They were all closed-toed. I don't even know who I'm becoming.
Who are you?
I don't know.
So strange.
I need some sun
in
my
beautiful?
Life. I mean, yeah, they're cool. They were cheap and they'll, yeah. But it made me a little sad.
See
after
what happens
I did
when
it.
We don't hang out for a couple weeks?
Yeah.
Like you just turn into a different person, Ange.
I know. I'm ready to go back to my open-toed 30-degree weather self.
So in our pre-production meeting, we also already opened up our wine bottle. So let's talk a little bit about that. So I'm gonna start with mine because mine is less risque than Angie's drink tonight. So mine is a Malbec. It's a 2017 Malbec, which is one of my favorite wines. Here's why. It's cheap, but it tastes so good. Like, I don't understand how something so cheap. It's an Argentina wine, right? I guess that's where the grapes come from. I don't know. Somebody correct me. I'm just making this shit up as I go. But it's so good. But it was like $8.99. And what even floored me even more is it's from one of my very favorite wineries in Michigan. So we're starting to go up the coast a little bit. We've featured a lot of the Southwest Michigan wines, but now I've been buying lately a lot of like the Traverse City area wines.
Oh.
Old Mission Peninsula up there. So if you look at, for those of you not from Michigan, if you hold up your left hand, that's the shape of our state. If you look up like where your little pinky is, that's like where I'm talking about, that area, like the tip of that. So, well, actually, I guess it'd be a little bit farther. Like, yeah, let's just go with that. You know what I'm talking about. So, it's up in that area, and it is a famous wine region. And this is one of my very favorite wineries. It's called Chateau Chantal. And it is this beautiful winery that sits up at like a really high point in that area. And you can see the vineyards all around. And if you stay there, also my favorite part, if you stay the night there, because it's also a bed and breakfast, as a guest, they leave the wine bar and all the unopened bottles of wine from that day's tasting, they leave them open.
What?
And you can go down there at night and just drink the wine.
How many people do they find laying on their floor when they come in the morning?
I don't know, but it's pretty fantastic. And the views are beautiful. The wine is fantastic. So if you've never been to Chateau Chantal, up in the Traverse City area of Michigan, highly recommend. And their Malbec is fantastic.
Heck yeah.
Yes. You can
plan
get
on
it.
A trip.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get it at grocery stores too. Like some grocery stores, but you can get it. So good stuff.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What you drinking?
Well,
something that classy?
100%. I mean, don't you know it? So you guys, I purposely picked this because I love the label. It has a woman sort of laying down, and she's got these high red heels.
Yes,
in
she
the
does.
Air. And the striped, it's fantastic. We'll take a picture to show you. But it's from a winery in Indiana called French Lick Winery. And I loved the label description on the back, which makes it even better. And I'm going to read the entire thing to you because it is that good, I promise. So listen. Our signature French Lick red wine is worthy of our name. She's a flirty, spunky red, chock full of grape flavor that brings the party wherever she goes. She's hardly a snob, but she's not from a box either. She's a hot number who likes to be poured over ice.
Oh, I mean, is it hot in here or is it just me?
How can you not love that? And I am telling you, it tastes as good as it sounds. It's fantastic.
It's super cute, too. Mm-hmm. So, and that's from where?
It's French Lick Winery in Indiana. West Baden
and
Springs,
she's bringing
Indiana.
All the Indiana wines.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I like that.
We have to
yes,
span
we
it
do.
Out.
I love and it.
Indiana has some good wineries, too.
I
they really
it.
Do.
Yeah, they do. I know. We'll be expanding. We know we like to feature our local wines, and I talk about the Michigan ones. Ange talks about the Indiana ones, but, you know, we know there are some other great wines out there. Mm-hmm. California, Australia, our listeners from there. Send us some.
We don't
some.
Discriminate.
That's fine. No, we Mm-mm. will not. No. We will drink all of the wines.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to drink all of the wine tonight.
You do that. Okay. I'm going to take a picture at the end. I'm going to take a before and picture
I'm
and after picture.
I'm actually not going to drink all of the wine tonight, like right here. But I feel like I should. It's been a stressful day at work. Like a good stressful. But you know how it is. Like when you – I was gone on a hunting trip. I went snow goose hunting down in Arkansas. Y'all know that I'm half hillbilly. So we spent some days in the mud with my dad and my uncle and uncles and my cousins and my brother. Yeah, the snow goose migration. I could go on for hours, but I won't bore you about that because we're talking about a different topic tonight. And then, you know, went to Florida. And so it's like when you come back from working hustlers, like, you know, like your inbox
catch
never
up.
Sleeps. Like mm-hmm. you got to catch up. So it's been hitting the ground running. Today was a pretty like jam-packed day at work. But you know what made it better?
Me.
Yes, definitely you. Definitely you.
I feel like that wasn't going to be your answer.
Well,
but
now
it
it's
is got
to be, damn it. But you actually did make it better. Coming and talking to you pre-production time, that's the official shit for
yeah.
chatting it out and figuring out what's going on with our lives. I got some flowers today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Flowers.
I love getting flowers. They were pretty and pink and everything that a girl could love. So that has me feeling very happy today. And so going into our topic tonight, I want to talk a little bit about relationships.
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun.
we've had a lot of requests to talk a little bit more about relationships. Mm. So Mm-hmm. We wanted to narrow that topic down tonight, and we wanted to talk about specifically expectations for real relationships. I don't know what we should qualify that as. Are we saying like loving relationships or like adult relationships? Maybe that's what we should say.
I mean, I think it could span the spectrum, right? Yeah. I mean, adult relationships, you know, because I feel like even in friendships, there are expectations sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't necessarily think it has to be a love interest.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and I think it's, I mean, we'll probably kind of veer off in that direction mm-hmm. for sure. But I think it all boils down to, at this point in our lives, we know what we want and we know what we expect. Now, does that mean that we always will get our way? No, of course not. We always know that there's room for compromise. Angie knows that more than I do because I'm mean. But but I think that they're, you know, we're grown-ass women, right? And so we get a lot of requests from other grown-ass women.
And men.
And men who are like, all right, talk about relationships. Like, what, like, you know, what are the expectations if you're going to have a lasting one, if you're going to have a productive relationship? So,
yeah,
that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
So here, I'm going to ask this. I'm going to start it out. I'm going to start it out a little heavy.
Okay, then.
Expectations. Mm-hmm. There are expectations like, I expect to be respected mm-hmm. and I expect to feel loved. But then are there also expectations where like you expect that a certain situation is going to turn out a certain way, and when it doesn't, then you're really let down? And not because it turned out poorly, it just didn't turn out like you planned it. Mm-hmm. And when you walked in with expectations, it almost set you up to fail?
Yes.
Like the word expectation is so broad.
And it's so loaded too, because you're right. Like, and especially at this point in our lives, like, we've been there, right? We've done that. We understand, we know what we want, we know what we don't want. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a lot of time for bullshit, right? Yeah. And so when something happens that doesn't meet our expectations, that could lead to a little bit of a letdown. And is that fair?
Right.
I think that's the question.
Is that fair? And I think that sometimes the answer is yes, mm-hmm. but sometimes the answer is no.
Right.
I mean, I know personally, I've had to, even in friendships, love interests. I mean, I'm married, so only mm-hmm. one love interest mm-hmm. now. But,
right.
You know, I've had to recognize when I'm sort of walking in to a situation with an expectation at the end, and I'm like, sort of need to dial this back and mm-hmm. like let it pan out how it pans out and sort of figure it out, especially with girlfriends. I think I found that with girlfriends whom I love, and, you know, I'll go in hoping that a conversation turns this way, or, you know, that we'll meet up and we'll have these great conversations. And like, when that doesn't happen, sometimes I'm disappointed. Then I sort of have to dial myself back mm-hmm. and think, well, but I did get something out of it, you know, so let's think through this.
Yeah. And I think probably our personalities are similar in that respect, and that we do have these expectations for how things will be productive, right? Mm-hmm. Or how things will be, how it will be viewed as a successful experience, I guess, for lack of a better word. But I find myself at fault in the same way, you know, like I set up a lot of expectations in my mind, or a lot of standards in my mind. And sometimes if those aren't met, like I get pissed off.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that is always fair. And I think you said, you know, sometimes it is fair and sometimes it isn't. But I mean, that's a growing point too, you know, like realizing that just because it's your expectation doesn't mean it's always going to be the reality. And that's okay too, you know, as long as I think certain parameters that are agreed upon are met. If things don't always turn out your way or how you think they're going to turn out, I think a little bit of grace there is probably mm-hmm. a good idea. I will be the first in line to admit that I struggle with that.
Yeah, me too.
And I can maintain, like, no, like, that's not what's supposed to happen. This was what was supposed to happen. And, like, maintain, like, a rigidity. Is that a
rigidity?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
About that.
Especially when I feel dismissed. Mm-hmm. Like, if I am vulnerable enough to tell that person, you know, hey, I was really hoping that it would turn out this way, and I feel like they sort of dismiss it or don't even consider what I'm saying, then I double down.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's well, I'm not even going to bother to look at it from your point, mm-hmm. because you certainly didn't.
Right.
You know, and that might not help the situation. It's not exactly the most solution-oriented perspective. But come on, man.
Like I told you.
Like, well, like I want to be considered. Like, yes. you don't even have to agree with yes. me, but at least respect me enough mm. to consider what I'm saying.
Yeah. Or respect me enough to consider how that might make me feel.
Or that there's a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yep.
I remember a few years ago, I have a few girlfriends and we used to do we didn't get to do it this year. I'm a little bummed, but that's okay. Like, life gets in the way. But we did Bestmas, and our schedules are crazy. We've got one who's got kiddos and like another one's got a boyfriend. I'm married. Like, there's just lots of schedules to try to figure it out. And for the life of us, like, we couldn't figure it out. And so they were trying to schedule something and it wasn't going to work for me. And I said something that I didn't necessarily mean. I was like, go ahead, girls. Like, it is what it is. We had tried to schedule it like five mm-hmm. different times. I was like, if it works for all of you, then just do it. And I didn't actually mean it. And so it came down to another one of the girls wasn't able to do it. So the two got together and I still got really hurt about it. And it sort of caused some conflict between one of the girlfriends and I. And we never approached that before. We didn't know how to navigate mm-hmm. it.
Sure.
So we didn't really talk for a few weeks. And then I was like, so are we going to talk about this? And I sort of laid it all out. And she was like, that was like, I had no idea that that's the way you looked at all of this, because that is not the way I looked at all sure. of this. So we ended up going to brunch together. And it was very awkward in the beginning, but man, it was great at the end.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she said to me, and I was so impressed because her husband, who tends to be the silent, quiet type, had told her, I found out later, going into this brunch, not to have expectations for it and to just let it be what it was going to be okay with whatever the outcome was. But she said that that's what she tried to do. And it turned out great for both of us. So I think both of us walked in there not necessarily having expectations, maybe hopes, mm-hmm. hopes that it would put us back sure. into the place that we needed to. And it did, even probably more so because we'd finally navigated something we'd never had before. But man, I thought that advice was really great.
That's great
it's
advice.
Hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to walk into something without expectations and letting it go where it's supposed to go and just finding a way to be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was great advice.
I mean, that's certainly a sign of maturity, obviously, right? To be able to go into a situation and know that whatever happens is what's going to happen, mm-hmm. to not have the expectations, but to find, I guess, the positive in that. So difficult to do.
So
I mean,
hard.
Especially in relationships where you are vested emotionally,
yes.
right? Because you want to feel good emotionally mm-hmm. and you want to feel good with this other person. And so in your head, you know what the outcome, like the expected outcome that would be the best mm-hmm. is. And so sometimes if you don't get there, it feels disappointing and it feels like a letdown.
Yeah.
But I think that that's great advice.
Well, and it came down to communication styles.
Oh, well, what a great right? segue.
I mean, she essentially, I like to talk things out.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be able for both of us to be heard. I like being heard.
Yes.
And when I'm not heard, it upsets me even mm-hmm. more. And so I like to be heard, but she shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
So she shuts down with conflict, and all I want to do is talk about it. And so our communication styles were very, very different. And we talked about that too during the conversation, about how our communication styles are different. And mm-hmm. it's a testament to our friendship that sure. we are still – she's still one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. But it was – it's eye-opening that it's not just in love interests that that can happen. It's sure. also with friendships that that can happen.
Yeah. Well, I love that you bring up the whole communication style differences too, because I think both you and I are similar, right? So mm-hmm. I almost wish we had a third voice just in this part here
yeah.
because – I like to talk it out too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why we have a podcast, right? and I want to talk it out and I want to solve it and I want to mm-hmm. fix it. I want to fix it. I want to fix everything, mm-hmm. you know? And so
right then,
mm-hmm. yeah. like right now, let's fix it. Let's go. Yep. Like we're doing this right now, but you might be in a relationship, love relationship or friendship relationship where the other person does not like conflict. See, mm-hmm. I conflict any day of the week. I don't mind it because there's always a purpose. If you deal with the conflict, if you're not afraid of the conflict, you can deal with the problem head on, mm-hmm. which means you can fix the problem, which means you can create a solution. Like you can get over the hard part and get together and come out on the other end with a better understanding. You have to go through the shit to get to the other side. That's my opinion.
Do
right?
you think that that has anything to do with the career that you're in, the role that you're in? You're forced to deal, like if there's any conflict that comes yeah. up, you have to deal with it.
I don't think it has to do with the job that I have causing me to be like that. I think that that's just my personality, which makes me a good fit for my job.
Mm, that makes sense.
And I don't know, that's the way I've always been. And I'm sure that's the way you've always been. I do not back away from conflict.
Yeah.
It's not like I like go out and fight. I'm not saying I'm a fighter, but I don't back away from it because the only way to the other side is through it. And
right.
the faster the better. Like
yeah.
if it's like the whole rip the Band-Aid off. For me, like that's always my go-to. Like if there's something that has to be dealt with, I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off. I'm going to jump in the cold pool and get the anxiety part over with so you can deal with the actual root issue or the issue at hand, because the faster you deal with it, the faster you can provide a solution for it.
But that notion that you have to learn how to fight is really mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like mm-hmm. that's really yeah. true, because if you're talking through conflict and you're both screaming and yelling mm-hmm. or
right.
yeah, you know, or if even if one of you is, that's not going to get you anywhere.
No.
So solving it right then and there, you're really not solving anything.
You're not. And again, if on the other end of this conversation is somebody completely opposite who mm-hmm. doesn't want conflict or who needs a cooling off period, or
yeah.
that's been hard for me to understand in my life. Like when there is an issue, I want to handle it right then, right there. But there are other people who have, you know, who I love, who they don't,
yeah.
and they need time to back away, to cool off, to go think about it before they say something they don't mean, or who just really need time to process, and then they'll come back to it like the next day. But that's so hard for me
yeah.
to be like, but wait, you mean you want me to sit and think about this all night?
Right.
Like, what the hell? But then that other person needs to, you know?
Yeah.
And so if we're talking about expectations for like relationships, there has to be some grace on both sides, and maybe people like us that want to solve the issue right then, maybe there's some room to allow for that time for the other person. Now, it doesn't mean you ignore it or push it under the rug or don't address it.
Yeah.
Because it has to be addressed, yeah. obviously. But the thing that I've struggled with my whole life is – if you are working with somebody who doesn't want to address it immediately, does that make them wrong? No, not really. Yeah. You know, it just means that they have a different communication style. So how do you navigate that if you have two separate communication styles?
So one of the things that I've learned, I don't like it,
mm-hmm.
but I can handle it much better, is if there is a disagreement and the other person needs some time. Because essentially they need time to cool off, but during the time they're cooling off, I'm just heating up, right?
Exactly. So like I just get more upset the whole time. These opposite
yes. effects. But what I found has helped is if I say, I understand that you need some time to cool off. What I need to hear from you is that we're going to address this on X day
mm-hmm.
or at X time. And so that at least I know that at that point, we are going to talk about it. And that, I don't love it, but it helps. It helps me to at least know.
And by I don't love it, she means I fucking hate it.
Perhaps.
No, I honestly love that you say that, because it is about like learning how to disagree.
Yeah.
Learning how to fight, right? Like, we're women who are set in our ways in some ways. You know, we are successes because we've learned how to be successful. And one of the ways is that we've done that is by our communication style, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the field that we're in. So to then have to navigate through that and work with another partner, friendship or whatever wise, mm-hmm. that needs the time.
Right.
To allow them that space to do that can be difficult for us because we want to solve it. So I love that you bring the whole idea of, all right, y'all are on a deadline.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe we're not going to talk about it right now. Now, how hard is it to not stew the whole time until that deadline?
You know, it's a lot easier than I thought it would
Good.
Be. Honestly, because at that in my head, what I'm thinking is, I already know what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's already in my head. But now that they've identified a certain point that we're going to talk, then they'll be able to calm down and process and be able to know what they want to say so that we can have a productive conversation. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that's what the goal is.
Like, absolutely.
I don't need to be right and you don't need to be right, but we need to have a productive conversation, even if it ends with we're going to agree to disagree and move on.
Mm-hmm.
But let's at least talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes to my hardest, the communication style that I bump up to the most is when people shut completely down.
Mm-hmm.
That is the hardest for me, when they are dismissive and they just shut down and that's it. Because to me, life's too short to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, work through it. And move on.
Yep.
You know,
come out
I mean?
On the other side.
Yeah.
Come out on the other side. I mean, that's the goal.
I mean, and perspective is everything, right? Like, you and I could sit here and experience the exact same thing and have two completely different perspectives mm-hmm. on it. Bring five different people in here and we'd have seven different perspectives on it, you know? And so I think it's about learning to be respectful, acknowledge that there can be different perspectives, and you don't have to agree about it. I don't have to look at you and say, okay, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But I can at least say, I hear where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really big. It's big for me, at least.
And it's so important, especially if you love that other person.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they should be talking about expectations. You expect them to offer you respect, you know? And so that same should be true on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, if you are in a loving relationship, you have to be willing to allow that person to express themselves in the way that they want to, and allow them a little bit of that, you know, their own communication style, what works best for them. You know, you have to bend to that a little bit. You know, there has to be some meeting in the middle, I think, when it comes to that.
So with expectations come assumptions too, mm-hmm. though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and especially in this day and age of social media, texting, not even social media, but like texting.
Oh,
I think it's so easy to assume. I know I've done it. I mean, it's
daily.
It's so easy to assume tone, assume that they, you meant it this.
Yes.
How did I mean it that way when you literally read words on a page?
Because you're reading it in their voice and you think you know.
You think you think you know. That mm-hmm. is the key. Like, you think you know. There mm-hmm. are so many assumptions. Like, communication styles these days are just – they just thrive on assumptions.
Yes.
And it causes so many problems.
So many issues, right?
Yeah.
Like, the whole intent and tone obviously cannot be conveyed through a text message. And I hate calling as much as the rest of us, right? Like, no one – you see someone calling you on your phone. Like, if you don't know the number, immediately go into voicemail. Do I ever check my voicemails? No.
Can I tell a really quick funny story?
Yes.
So when my husband and I first started dating, he's a phone guy. He's more of a texter now, but mm-hmm. like he really wasn't much of a texter back then. And he would call me and I wouldn't answer the phone because it's the phone. Who and calls? I didn't.
Right.
Who
sure.
calls? Mm-hmm. So he would text me and say, are you around? And I would say, yes. And he would be like, well, answer your phone. And I would say, well, what do you want? And he was like, I'd like to say goodnight to you. Could you just answer your phone? So it was like this weird dichotomy that I like had to get used to answering my yes. phone. It was the strangest thing ever
yes.
for me.
Yes.
And for him, he's just like, just answer your phone. Just answer your phone. Do. I just want to say goodnight
right,
to you.
Right, so we'll talk to you. Right.
Which should be like, oh, like, uh-huh. you know, the sweetest uh-huh. thing ever. But I was uh-huh. like, man, this guy is weird.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But I do have to say that as I've, you know, grown a little bit older, and obviously I text all the time, all day long, there is really, especially when you're talking about communication, if there's an issue or if there's something like that, there is no substitute for an actual conversation.
There's
so if you are having a disagreement, like, maybe not have that over text.
I'm so bad at that, though. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm really, I am so bad at not doing, like, book-long texting when I'm angry. Because, mm-hmm. again, back to our styles, mm-hmm. I just want to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
All I want is for you to hear me,
mm-hmm.
hear all of the things that I am saying, and then respond the way that I expect you to respond.
How much do you love when you get, like, a one-sentence response?
Oh, my gosh.
My God, are you just about to flip your lid?
Yeah, you could literally watch my head explode when that happens. You know that little emoji with the head?
Yes.
That's me. 100%. Like, literally watch it explode. No, I am horrible at mm-hmm. that. Like, it's one of those moments where I should be like, Angie, you shouldn't say these things right now. Stop. Like, draft them. Put right. them in a draft somewhere and never, ever send
that
them
so
anywhere
smart. Uh-huh.
because you are angry. Uh-huh. And yes, you need to get it out. Get it out somewhere that nobody
yes.
will ever
texting
see it.
Texting while angry is very, very dangerous.
It's not good.
Mm-mm.
It's not good.
No. And I, again.
Even if I mean the things that I'm saying, I don't say them in the way that I should.
Well, you don't. You're texting in an angry tone and it comes across. Oh, I'm with you, sister. Like, I can type out some books
yeah.
as fast as my mm-hmm. thumbs will take me. But I because I don't mind confrontation, not in a bad way or whatever, take that as you may. But, like, if there's really something that's on the table, like, if there's really an issue, I am picking up the phone and calling.
Is it confrontation or just addressing the issue?
I think in that case,
confronting
is
the issue.
Confronting the issue, but
yeah.
I'm not scared to, you know, like,
sure.
I think the reason behind a lot of, like, texting, like, when you're, you know, in an argument or whatever, is just because there's that safety. Like, you can get out what you want to say. Because a lot of times when people are upset or flustered or, like, frustrated, they know what they want to say, but it doesn't come out right.
Mm-hmm.
And so texting gives them the security of actually putting the words that they actually want to say on the phone, you know,
yeah.
like in writing and sending it over so that their words aren't misconstrued or that they say everything that they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's some validity to that. But to me, like, that when it comes down to communication, like, there is no substitute for actually, I want to hear, especially if it's somebody that I love, I want to hear their voice.
Yeah.
Like, because if I can hear their voice and connect in that way with them, like, I can hear if they're sad. And if they're sad about it, like, I don't want somebody I love to be sad, you know? And so
yeah.
there's, like, that human connection that can be made where it's just so flat on text. And there's not as much of an opportunity to reconnect to
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. But then there's also less opportunity to assume,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I don't know how many this isn't good. I don't know how many times, like, my text messages have ended with, I don't have any tone. I'm just letting you know how I'm feeling. And I really mean that. It's probably not read that way.
I can assure you it's probably not.
But I actually do mean it. Like, I don't actually have any tone. I'm just letting you know, like, what I'm thinking. Whereas
uh-huh.
if they actually heard the words
uh-huh.
out of my mouth, they would hear I really didn't have any tone.
Right.
But saying it probably doesn't come across
yes.
that way.
Right.
Right.
I'm not mad, but Well, right? Yeah. It's like the whole butt thing. Yeah. I'm sure is how they read it. So probably. So I guess the bottom line for like our, if you're like taking notes, right? If you're doing bullet points, if you are following my method of note taking.
Because obviously you should be taking notes from us, right?
Because we're the experts. You know, communication is definitely at the top. And I think communication, not only when you are not in agreement, but communication all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that in my number one. Like, sure. Without consistent communication for me, like, why am I even in that relationship? Like, a relationship to me means, like, we've got to be on the same page about things.
And
we've
safe
got
communication,
to be,
right? Yeah. Like, safe communication that's, like, kept between the two of you. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you... And even when it's angry, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, because it's going to happen and, you know, or sometimes people are just looking to vent
yeah.
about something, like to feel safe in that communication right. and know that it's not going anywhere but between
right.
the two of you.
Right.
I think that's really important.
Do you mean I can't tell Carrie everything that happens?
I do mean that. Sorry,
I'm
Carrie. I'm so
kidding.
Sorry.
I'm kidding. You know I had to throw that in there.
Carrie, I've never even met you, but please don't hate me.
I'm so kidding. I had to throw that in there. Listeners will know Carrie from season one and season two.
I mean, I feel like
and
I know
all the
Carrie.
Way back. You feel like you know her, right?
I do.
You know
I do.
That you know that little hillbilly that never wears shoes and is my best friend since the first
day.
Oh,
she's never worn shoes.
First day of kindergarten.
Then mm-hmm. we're soulmates.
You are.
We really are. We're kindred spirits.
You're soulless mates.
We're
get it?
Kindred spirits. Uh-huh. It's like yeah. Anne of Green Gables.
I feel like you all would like each other. Mm.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to get her in the studio.
No, she doesn't leave Buchanan. She's a little country mouse that stays at home.
I was too until you got a hold of me.
I'm a pusher.
Yeah,
that's what
yes,
I do.
Yes, you are.
Push people. So, all right, communication.
Speaking of,
you're talking about the wine?
No, I was talking about communication.
Oh.
Speaking of pushing people.
Yes.
You push people to communicate.
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
I think that I do. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you push me to communicate. On here.
Yeah. I just think that is like the essential key to unlocking human relationships. Like it forms the whole basis of, I guess, my whole life. Like everybody has a story to tell. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to ask them, right? Mm-hmm. So that's communication, right? Like just talking. I used to be a history teacher. The value of like oral histories and stories, I just love because it tells the history of the people, but it also tells about like relationships that people have and not only with mm-hmm. each other, but with countries and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But like the communication piece, and I guess my job title is communication and brand manager. So this
for
makes
a reason.
Sense, but, you know, it's how we tell our stories and it's how we connect to other people. And if we only just tried to connect.
Yeah.
On a human level with more people in this world, I think this world would be a better place to live in.
Or even just to hear. Like, yeah. Just hear what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You don't have to agree with it. Mm-hmm. Just hear
just
it.
Just hear them out.
I think that's why I like, I'm sure you've heard about Humans of New York, Pony.
Love that. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
I do love that.
And I mean, I still follow them mm-hmm. daily. And I love the fact that it is just these random people telling their, like, deepest stories to all of these strangers.
Yep.
And there is a connection. There mm-hmm. is 100% a connection, which is why it's lasted so long and made such yep. an impact. And it's just amazing.
Well, I mean, that's the reason why, you know, we do this and there's this common theme, right? Mm-hmm. With hustlers or just with the human condition in general, like there are these constant themes of love and wanting to belong mm-hmm. and, you know, wanting to support each other that are just universal, right? And like, I don't know, I think communication is the key to unlocking all of that. I mean, it's the key to unlocking prejudice. It's the key to unlocking mm-hmm. racism. It's the key to unlocking stereotypes. It's the key to unlocking this political cultural divide that we have right now. Like, I can disagree with you.
Yeah.
But damn it. Like, we both bring valuable things to the table. And if we are allowed to communicate what those things are and what our hopes and dreams and feelings are, and we are heard, doesn't mean we have to agree. But if yeah. we are heard, like, I think that's where, I don't know, that's that's where the key is. I just wish that was more of a relevant thing.
Not to get super political, mm-hmm. but back when Trump was running, mm-hmm. you know, back when the presidency race was going on, I lean liberal. That's mm-hmm. just who I am. And I have a girlfriend who leans conservative. And we had the best conversation around the presidency and the race I've ever had. And it brought us so much closer.
Yeah.
And it was actually via social media, and it pulled so many other people in. Mm-hmm. And it was a respectful conversation that we still didn't end up agreeing with one another at the end. And that was so okay.
And that's okay.
It was so okay. And it was so respectful. And everybody who commented was so respectful. Mm-hmm. And people were there just to kind of like learn and hear other perspectives and also to be heard. And they were made to feel that way. And it was literally probably the best thing that came out of that entire race. But
yeah. If only we can multiply that.
I know. Multiply it. And even in our, you know, bring it into our mm-hmm. personal lives. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Build that tribe.
So we communicated a lot about a communication.
Mm, we did. And
that's a big part. So consistency.
Oh, consistency. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Consistency is hard.
It is. I think it's important. To me, I think it's important. Yeah. Does it mean that you will falter? Does it mean that you will let the other person down and they will let you down? That's just obvious, right? Like we are humans. We err. But I think that overall consistency to me is very important. And what I go back to my models in terms of relationships, like my parents, right, who were high school sweethearts, met each other back when they were 17 years old and are still in love today when they are, how old am I? So they are 57. They're 20 years older than me. And still in love this day. And I think a lot of that goes back to consistency. Like they could count on each other. They were always there for each other and they continue to be there for each other. And to me, that's very important. Like in order to have like a solid foundational relationship, I don't care if it's love or, you know, platonic, I need to know that that person is going to show up for me when I need them. And I know I need to know that they're going to be consistent in their love for me, because if not, it's just this roller coaster and I'm getting the fuck off.
Well, consistency builds trust, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
I mean, that at the end of the day, that's sort of what it boils down to.
Sure.
And I mean, trust is a whole nother.
Right.
Whole other topic.
I feel like that's a whole other taboo table talk.
It's a whole other table talk. But it really does. Consistency mm-hmm. builds trust. And when you're inconsistent, it's hard to believe the things that somebody's either saying or that they're doing, and you question everything.
Right.
And it's a really hard spot to be in.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about stable relationships, I have to be able to count on you.
Yeah.
Like there, you know, if there is a time when I need you, you have to show up. Yeah. If I'm having, you know, if it's a bad day, like you have to be consistent in your, you know, in your love back for that person. And I look to my parents, but I also look to, we celebrated the life of my great uncle Harold, who was married to my great aunt Aline last year. And they were married for, gosh, I don't know, 60 plus years. Mm. And when they, during the service, you know, a lot of folks stood up to talk about their love. And like the one thing that everyone talked about is they were just always there for each other. Like they were true partners. They were consistent in their love for each other. And I just remember sitting there thinking like, damn, like that's what you want at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. Like you want to know that you are in this true partnership, that the other person, when you need them, will always be there. They will always stand up. When she suffered from dementia in the last decade of her life, he was there. He was consistent. He was that, you know, he was that support. And that's obviously the extreme, but y'all know we're getting older, right? Yeah. Like we're not always going to be able to be up and around. So I think that, to me, that is super duper duper important. Like, I want you to be able to trust that I'll be there for you and you're going to be there for me, and we're going to be consistent in our communication. We're going to be consistent in our love, and we're going to be consistent in our support, and you can count on me.
So what happens when that's not there, right? I mean, so people are flawed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're all flawed.
Sure.
And eventually at some point, we're going to screw up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And so, you know, there's this consistent message. Consistent mm-hmm. message. See what mm-hmm. I did there? Of grace.
Yes.
And so, you know, if I mean, I know I've done it. Like, you know, I've been in a relationship or whatever, and, you know, I'm pretty consistent on things, and something happens, and I'm like, man, I'm going to pick a phone up and just be like, hey, I'm really sorry. Mm-hmm. At least recognize mm-hmm. it, right? And then start over again. You start building that consistency again. Yes. But, you know, like, do what you say you're going to do. And if at some point you don't do that, then at least recognize it.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that respect thing and, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
But
say what you mean and mean what you say, yeah. right? Like that whole idea. Are we going to fail? Yes.
Yeah.
100%. I do. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I do. But the whole idea of, like, recognizing that and then saying you're sorry, you know, mm-hmm. or stepping up or proving, you know, that you are that consistent person, I think is important. Yeah, because people are going to fail, especially if you're in a long-term relationship. Like, that's just going to happen.
It's going to happen.
You know, and if you love somebody, you know, I guess you give them that leeway, or you give them that understanding that the long-term relationship is more important than, you know, maybe a couple of missteps along the way. Or you buy jewelry and send flowers. Or is that fine?
It is. But it's a lot easier yes. to be understanding and accepting when the other person acknowledges
yes.
how you're feeling, yeah. like how their inconsistency mm-hmm. made you feel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because when you start being dismissive of it, that's a whole other ballgame.
Absolutely.
Right?
And so the acknowledgement part is, and I'm looking at my phone right now, not to be rude, but because, hold on. I love what Carrie, bring you back up. You know, she's has two boys who are just fantastic boys. And, you know, she does a lot of, she talks with them, you know, and she talks about, like, you know, when you're in relationships with women, like what, you know, what you should do or what you should say. And so she said something, you know, a long time ago to me that I thought was just great. So I saved it. And she said, the main thing I've tried teaching my boys is I'm sorry means it's probably not going to happen again.
Mm.
Like, if it continues, then are you really sorry? Like, oh, you know, so, like, she tries to instill in them, like, okay, it can't become a pattern. Like, if yeah. you are really sorry, or if you're inconsistent, like, if you continue to be inconsistent, then that becomes a pattern, and that's an issue, you know? Mm-hmm. And but, you know, if you're really sorry, apologize. But do what you can.
And then remember it next time.
To make sure that maybe that doesn't become a pattern.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that can be really tough too. Especially when two people
mm-hmm.
who are older and sort of set in their ways, like they know what they want, right? Try to come together
mm-hmm.
and they already have their habits. And then, I mean, you obviously have to adjust if you're bringing somebody else into your life.
Yeah.
Then, you know, sometimes it happens a couple of times.
Yes.
Even if you don't want it to.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't necessarily mean it's a pattern, or it doesn't mean that they don't care what you think, or that they're going to do it forever and ever, ever. It just means that it's a habit
mm-hmm.
and they're not used to having somebody else in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
I love that. I think that you're 100% correct in that. And, you know, I'm obviously divorced, and you know, you got married a little bit later in life. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to relationships, we are obviously bringing into them what our habits are.
Yeah.
And so if we want to be in a loving relationship where we accept another person, we have to accept that they also have habits. Does it mean that we like accept those habits and are like, oh, that's fine. If that doesn't work for me, then that's okay. No, obviously not. But two people who are working together to grow together have to allow for that growth period to happen mm-hmm. and have to allow for maybe some missteps, but continued progress in the right direction, I think, is probably yeah. the most important thing. Like, I'm with you, Ange. I think that that's a very important part that you bring up, because that goes back to the whole expectations part. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, you're still two people, two different people.
Different people.
Mm-hmm. But if you love each other, or if you value the relationship that you have, you value who they are as a person. Doesn't mean that you change them, but it means that, because you can't, people don't change. We know that. But it means that you can work together on this shared goal of having a valuable relationship and making sure that you're contributing in the way that you need to contribute.
So people don't change, but they can grow.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So, and I think that that's really important to note, because, you know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, they're not going to change. You know, like, this is who they were 5 years ago, or mm-hmm, this is who mm-hmm. they were even a year ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, people don't change, but they do grow. And with that growth, they become different. Mm-hmm. And I think that that needs to be allowed too. You know, I know that I've had relationships or friendships or whatever before where, you know, it's been in my head, oh, well, before this and this and this happened. And so I would expect, you know, there would be this expectation that, oh, well, this is probably going to happen again, which was unfair of me, because that wasn't allowing them the room to grow, you know, into a better area of their life or whatever. And I think that that's really important to note too.
Yeah. I think that wraps it up very well. Like, I think it's good. I mean, the whole growth portion, has to be allowed for when it comes to having these expectations. Like, it's all along a continuum, and it's all a continuous journey. Like,
yeah.
We have relationships now that will continue to the rest of our life. We have relationships now that won't, you know? And so it's all about, like, what you put into relationships is what you're going to get out of those relationships, but allowing for growth and allowing for a little bit of, as Angie always says, space and grace, I think is always a good thing to do. Difficult for me sometimes. I've been told that
ditto.
That might be a difficult thing.
I think
for
it's
me.
Different. I think it's difficult for everybody I mean, because that just means that you have to take a step back
mm-hmm.
and sort of be like, okay, maybe you, like, I'm thinking this, but maybe this.
Right.
You know, and so you have to make room for other mm-hmm. things and other perspectives. And I think mm-hmm. that's just hard as humans in general.
Yeah. Like, maybe don't be a pain in the ass all the time.
Or so judgmental.
Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Are we talking about ourselves right now?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys, but I'm lovely, damn it.
Oh, we're great.
I'm a lovely pain in the ass.
We're great.
We're fine. Everything's fine. Let's drink.
Everything's fine. The house is on fire. Everything
Cheers.
Is fine.
Everything's Cheers. Fine. Everything's fine.
So, Stacey, I know you and I were talking a little bit earlier about the love languages.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about those?
Why the hell not? I took a test.
a love language test. Let's clarify that.
Yes. That's the kind of
it's a love language test.
So, all right. For the past 10 years, all I've heard from girlfriends or whatever is like, what's your love language? What love language? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm not doing that stupid shit. Like, that sounds dumb. So, I know that was a very articulate way for me to express my feelings about it. Well, it's not dumb. Okay. So, I did take this quiz. I wanted to know, like, which love language am I? Because then, if you know which love language you are, you know best, like, how people should communicate with you for you to have the best response, what actions those people should take, and, like, maybe things they should avoid. And then, you know, if you are with somebody else or, like, have a significant other, if you know what their love language is, like, it makes it easier for you to appeal to that by knowing how to communicate best with them, what actions to take, things to avoid, things like that. So the five love languages, and if you haven't taken the quiz, you totally should. It's free. It's online. Just type in the five love languages quiz and like 20 billion different options will show up. But there is an official one out there. It's free. It took me like 5 minutes. So the five love languages are words of affirmation, physical touch, receiving gifts, quality time, and acts of service. So, shockingly, or not, my love language was words of affirmation. So just to give you an example, for those of you who haven't taken the quiz yet. So how I like people to communicate with me is to encourage, affirm, appreciate, empathize, and listen actively. Shocker. Actions that I, that if people take these actions, I feel like they love me. That's how I read love languages. Send an unexpected note, text, or card. Encourage genuinely and often. And I definitely say, like, that's the way to go. Like, if you send me a little note telling me you're thinking about me, or if you, like, text me, or that's all I need. I just need some words, man. Mm-hmm. I need some words. Things to avoid. So when you're talking with me, that's how we're supposed to read this.
Speaking
chart,
of
right?
expectations.
Here's what not to do, folks. Non-constructive criticism. Or not recognizing or appreciating my efforts, damn it. So those are the things to avoid. So again, there are five different love languages. I encourage you to take it. I know this is like old news, right? Like probably all of you listening to it are like, yeah, we know we did that like 10 years ago. I know, but it's still, I think it's still applicable. Because when we talk about like the whole communication and expectations, if you don't know how that other person communicates best or effectively, I think it can put up some barriers.
But I think one of the things that, so I never taken the love languages. Mm-hmm. I feel like I should now because mm-hmm. Stacey has told us all to do
you
that.
Totally should. Do it.
But I think that the biggest takeaway for me, because I've read a lot about it, is that it is telling you how to love somebody else in the way that
yes.
they need to be loved. Not in the way that you think they should be loved.
Correct.
And I think that that is a huge, huge point because mm-hmm. a lot of times we will do something because we think that the other person should appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, it's a problem. Well, guess what, folks? Not everybody wants to be loved the way that you think that they should be loved.
Yes.
People appreciate different things, mm-hmm. and that's okay. And that's okay.
Right. Because I think that I've probably tried to love people in that lens, like through words
yes.
of affirmation. But that doesn't work if I'm in a relationship with someone who is whose love language is acts of service.
Right.
That doesn't work. They don't really care. That's my insulin pump, by the way, folks. little behind the scenes. They don't necessarily care that I'm sending them like a note or
right.
leaving a love note. What they would prefer is we do chores together or make them breakfast in bed or I go out of their way to like help alleviate like their daily workload because
mm-hmm.
their love language is acts. If I show them through acts that I love them, like that's how they view love. And so if I try to love them in a different lens that they don't value,
yeah.
that's would pose some barriers.
Is what
it
is.
It is.
And what happens is when you argue, if you're to argue,
mm-hmm.
and they say, you don't make me feel loved, and then you think, well, I've done all of these
right.
things to make you feel loved. And so then you have this like huge gap in there because like all you're doing is loving them the way that you think that they should.
Or the way you want to be loved.
The way that you want, right. The way that you want to be loved. And they're over here like, you have no idea.
Right. That's not how I want to be loved.
That's not how I want to be loved.
Right.
Like, that doesn't make me feel
right.
loved.
Like, acts of service. Like, if you, like, help me, like, do the dishes, I'd be like, cool. That's cool. But why didn't you leave me a love note? Right? Like,
right.
that's
yeah.
how I want to be loved. I want you to tell
yeah.
me.
Yeah. If you got somebody
me.
Over here going, like, well, I take the trash out for you all the time. And,
right.
Like, and I can take the trash out by myself. Like,
mm-hmm.
leave me a note.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take your hand and write me a note.
Mm-hmm.
Leave one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And in his head, he's like, but I took the trash out for you and
right.
I hate taking the trash out. And so I
right.
did it anyways. And,
mm-hmm.
but that's because he wants you to take the trash out to show you that you love him.
Yes. And
right?
so it's so simple, but so important.
But
again, it all comes
is.
Back to the like the whole communication piece.
And
like,
recognizing each other.
Yes. And respecting that other person has a different way of communicating and
yeah.
loving. And I guess we could really boil down this whole episode to an idea of like selflessness and like taking a step back. And
mm-hmm.
it's not all about you. Like if you're trying to
Are you sure?
I mean, kind of. Like, if... Okay, it usually is all about us. But what I'm trying to say is, like, there is a piece of, if you're in a relationship, there is a give and take. And there is a hearing out and understanding of the other side that has to happen in order for there to be that productive relationship. But it doesn't just, it's not just one-sided. And that goes back to the whole, like, wanting to be heard. That has to be provided by both sides of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. What she said.
Yeah, what she said.
No, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yes.
That's good stuff.
It is. It's just all, it's so easy to talk. It's like, so easy. It's so easy to talk about and talk too, but it's so hard to implement.
Well, just do it.
Okay, you let me know how that works out for you.
Okay. I'll let you know.
Thank you. We'll give you an update on the next episode, guys.
We'll see if I...
How that goes.
Yeah, we'll see if I excel in that area. So, I don't know, man. Good topic. Good taboo table talk, expectations for relationships.
You know, if you guys have any, like, recommendations on how to accept different perspectives more or better communication, man, we would really love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Because
communicate about it.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you did there. She thinks she's got jokes today, folks.
I got lots of jokes and lots of wine. I'm not sure which one I have more of.
But really, we'd love to hear from you.
Where can they talk to us, Ange?
I mean, just about anywhere they can find us.
Right. So on Facebook, you can find us in Hustlin' and Heels. On Instagram and Twitter, you can find us at HIH Pod. You can always email us at letschat@hihpod.com. And if you haven't already subscribed, you should definitely do that. And you can do that by going out to, you can find us on Spotify. You can find us on podcast on that little purple app on your iPhone. Stitcher, iHeartRadio, really anywhere you find your podcast, folks. And you should be sharing us with your tribe.
100%.
And communicating with us on all social platforms. We have a jam-packed schedule coming your way. We are excited about our guests that we have coming out.
Oh my gosh, so excited.
We are excited. Like, spring is coming and so is new content. And like, we're revitalized, we're refreshed, we're ready to go. And we love your interactions with us. We'll keep those coming.
Do. Yeah, and share us with the people that you feel like
there
you
it is
need
again.
To. Yeah, it's wrapping us up.
It is wrapping us up. Let's check the old. Oh,
it's really wrapping us up. Share us with the people that you feel like you need to integrate your communication with a little bit better too.
Oh, that was like a total PR term,
right?
Mm-hmm, I liked it. So, all right. Well, I believe that to be a wrap.
It is. It is a wrap. Do you have any social shares?
I don't know. You have one?
I don't know. I might.
I mean, I did share something on my story today. And it was, I just loved it. It's just a little cursive and it just says, "Dream a little bigger, darling."
Oh, that's good.
With a little kiss. Little like lipstick kiss. And I loved it because I mean I typically wear a bracelet, although I don't have it on today, but I usually wear it every day that just says "dream bigger." And it's like my constant reminder to you know, whatever I think, whatever I want to do, this is not my practice life. Think bigger. Do bigger, dream bigger. Like there is no limit, right, when it comes to the things that we can accomplish if we only put our mind and our talents to it and have the courage to jump. So
jump.
That's my constant reminder.
I saw one today that really resonated, and that's actually pretty applicable. So there is this man hanging over a cliff, and there's a rock on the top of him. And there's a woman whose hand he has to try to pull her up, but there's this kind of crevice in between, and there's a little snake. And we can post this so you guys can see it. But it says, "The man doesn't know there's a snake underneath. The woman doesn't know that there's a stone crushing the man. The woman thinks, 'I'm going to fall and I can't climb because a snake is going to bite me. Why can't the man use a little more strength and pull me up?' The man thinks, 'I'm in so much pain, yet still I'm pulling you up as much as I can. Why don't you try to climb a little harder?' The moral is, you can't see the pressure the other person is under, and the other person can't see the pain that you're in. This is life, no matter whether it's with work, family, feelings, or friends, we should try to understand each other, learn to think differently, perhaps more clearly, and communicate better.
Oh my gosh, that's like the perfect social share. Will you send that to me?
I will.
I have some people I'm sending that one to.
It is fantastic, and we will post it for you guys too, for sure.
I love that. I love it. All right. Yeah. Okay, hustlers. Well, we're going to take the headphones off and enjoy the rest of our evening. And we are so thankful that you are a part of our tribe, and we thank you for listening. So
it was good to be back.
It was. See you later, hustlers.
Bye, guys.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacey Carlin and Angie Crocker. All views and opinions expressed on the show are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Angie on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. You can also send the show an email to letschat@HIHpod.com. Feel free to write into the show if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. So be sure to reach out to us if you've got a question, comment, want to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all the ladies have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for their newest episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.